the number 40 is very prominent in the Bible. In fact, it's mentioned some 146 times. And it generally symbolizes a period of testing, trial, probation for the purpose of growth and maturity. For example, Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights with God on Mount Sinai, during which time God gave him the Ten Commandments. Can you imagine what that experience must have been like? You and God for 40 days and nights. Then he gives you the Ten Commandments. I would say that was a time of growth for Moses, amen? Goliath threatened the Israelites for 40 days before God sent the courageous shepherd David to defeat this Philistine giant, which greatly strengthened Israel's faith. They then said, "We will fight too." Jonah delivered a prophetic warning to Nineveh that in 40 days it would be destroyed, and thankfully they heeded the prophet's message and were spared. They were spared. Jesus spent 40 days in the desert before beginning his public ministry, being tempted by Satan in ways that are common to all fallen humanity. And following his resurrection, Jesus appeared for 40 days to a number of his disciples and spoke about the kingdom of God. And of course, the number 40 is seen in the amount of years Israel wandered in the desert, in the wilderness, before they entered the promised land. Judges who ruled Israel for 40 years included Othniel, Deborah, Barak, Eli, Gideon, Saul, David, Solomon, each ruled Israel for 40 years. And we could go on. We could give further examples. But again, the point is the number 40 symbolizes special times when God asks us, his people, to focus on growing closer to him, becoming more like him. Now, personally, the number 40 is quite prominent in my life. Obviously, I've passed 40 age-wise by, I think it's just a couple of years. Amen? I've been married to my lovely wife, Kay, for over 40 years, 42 to be exact. I have a daughter, Adrian, who's 41. Our son, Andrew, will turn 40 on July 12th. This summer marks 42 years I've been in full-time ministry, and today Westside, as we all know, is celebrating its 40th anniversary, and I have been, by God's grace, privileged to be your pastor since Westside's inception. The date was July 10th, 1983. And what a special day that was. It was forever etched in my memory. I remember it so very well. My text for that first Sunday morning was John 14:6, where Jesus declared, "I am the way, say it with me, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And this life-saving truth has continued to resonate and resound from this pulpit, for which I praise the Lord. Our message of Jesus saves, we have heard the joyful sound, has not changed, and by God's grace, it will not change. That is the hope of mankind, that Jesus saves. And Jesus can save you. He came to seek and to save those who were lost, and that means all of us. Jesus saves. Now, what is an appropriate way for us as a church to recall, to recap, to sum up these very special and significant past 40 years? To help us capture the essence, the nature of Westside, I want us to look briefly at two Old Testament leaders, Nehemiah and Ezra. Ezra and Nehemiah were contemporaries, and they both wrote about the rebuilding of Jerusalem, which occurred some 70 years after it was destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar. And specifically, Ezra wrote about the rebuilding of the temple, while Nehemiah wrote concerning the rebuilding of Jerusalem, particularly its walls. And by the way, both men were successful. Now, regarding Nehemiah's quest to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, God providentially provided him all the necessary resources, which included materials and workers to finish the job in just 52 days. I wish Nehemiah was in charge of Flowing Wells Road. Amen? It would have been done years ago. And what was Nehemiah's response as he witnessed the grace Artaxerxes showed his cupbearer? Well, if you look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8, we read these words, "And the king granted me, and why? Because of the good hand of my God upon me." The king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Nehemiah testified, God's good hand is upon me. God is truly blessing and working on my behalf. And I exalt and I praise him. That is why King Artaxerxes is providing me what I need, because God's good hand is on me. And I say, what a testimony. What a wonderful acknowledgement. Nehemiah could say, because of God's goodness to me, I will be able, or I have at some point, he would be able to say, completed the rebuilding of Jerusalem's walls. God's good hand is upon me. Turning to Ezra, we witness him striving to deal with two main issues faced by the returning exiles. Number one, the struggle to rebuild and restore the temple. And number two, the need for spiritual reformation. God's people needed to renew their fellowship with the Lord. Well, what was Israel's response as he too experienced the grace of Artaxerxes? Well, look at Ezra chapter 7, verse 9. "For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Friends, like Nehemiah, Ezra also credited his success to God's good hand of blessing upon him. Then let's look at verses 27 and 28. We see the same statement at the end of this chapter. "Blessed be the God, the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, before all the king's mighty princes, and I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me." Again, Ezra was encouraged by the king's generous backing, but more so because of the clear evidence of God's help and support. Friends, like Nehemiah, Ezra found great encouragement in knowing that the hand of the Lord was upon him. You want to be able to say, you know, I'm not perfect, and I stumble and I fall, but I truly know God's good hand is upon me. I'll tell you, you'll make it. You'll make it through life. Through all the dangers, toils, and snares, you will make it through life. If you can say, God's hand is upon me. And then in Ezra chapter 8, we see again this blessing. Notice verse 18. "And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding." Verse 22, "For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us." In other words, he answered our prayers. And then verse 31, "Then we departed from the river Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy, and as such as lay in wait by the way. And we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days. Ezra repeated what was now a familiar phrase. God's hand was indeed upon him and upon God's people. And what did this hand do? It protected them, it guided them, it blessed them. One author writes, God never fails those who act in full dependence on him, and so in complete independence of others. Now, specifically, why was God's good hand, and I kind of jumped ahead, I didn't mean to, but why was God's good hand upon Ezra and Nehemiah? Well, looking back at Ezra chapter 7, we read in verse 10, for Israel had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. I mean, that is a full statement. He had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And in preparing his heart to seek the law of the Lord, what followed was he obeyed the law of the Lord. And thereafter, he was then able to teach others the law of the Lord. There was in Ezra a threefold intention that brought to pass God's hand of goodness. Again, he first sought the law of the Lord. He fellowshipped with God through the word. Then second, Ezra obeyed God's word. He was an actual doer of the word. And then third, Ezra taught God's word to others. What he lived, he passed on. You know, you can't pass on something that really isn't yours. Ezra sought God's word. He had a heart like the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. He was like the psalmist in Psalm 19. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And he was referring to the law of the Lord, and in keeping of them there is great reward. He obeyed God's word. He was a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And then, thirdly, he taught God's word. No wonder God's good hand was upon him. Sought God's word. He obeyed God's word, and he taught God's word. I believe for 40 years, God's good, gracious, and loving hand has been on Westside. Frankly, there's no other explanation for the blessings this church has experienced. And a primary reason for God's blessings, we too have and continue by God's grace to seek God through his word, and then to obey God's word, and then thirdly, to teach God's word. Friends, this is our heart. We seek to know God's word. We desire to obey God's word. And then we labor to pass on God's word. And then like Ezra and Nehemiah, who saw evidence of God's good hand, I can testify we have too. Now, at the beginning of this ministry, we had nothing. We started from scratch. And when you start from scratch, that means you do a lot of scratching. I mean, we had no hymn books. I can remember when we got hymn books. I was thankful we had hymn books. Now, we don't know what hymn books are anymore, but we needed hymn books. God provided. We didn't have a piano. I remember going to Turner's Keyboard, and they had a couple of pianos that were in our price range. And we picked out a piano, and I was never so happy to have our own piano, one that was in tune. And obviously, we had no property. And so I asked the Lord, could you provide us an acre of land somewhere in this West Augusta area? Well, God did exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. He gave us this piece of property, 5 acres almost. And by the way, it's a beautiful piece of property. We had no church building of our own. Initially, we rented for 3 years two classrooms from Augusta Christian Schools, and I'm thankful for that institution, how good they were to us. God has given us three very pleasing, very functional, I think very beautiful buildings. During our son Andrew's visit a couple of weeks ago, we were out by the new playground, and praise the Lord for that new playground. He said, you know, this is really peaceful and pretty back here. And I have had more than one person tell me when they come back here, it's peaceful. It's almost like it's an oasis away from the world and its ugly ways. We had no people. It was Kay, Adrian, Andrew was in the hangar, and me, I came. Some of you are still with us after 40 years, and some for shorter periods of time. And I thank the Lord for each one. You know, no one has to come and even visit Westside, but I'm glad for those who have and for those who have stayed. Fortunately, and this is God's good hand upon us, our church family has not had very many disgruntled troublemakers, and I say that very, very honestly. We have not had prima donnas come to Westside, and I'm grateful for that because the one that's preeminent is Jesus. And so we've had gracious, loving, giving people. And I think of those who have been saved and baptized here. I mean, we have some of you with us right now who have been saved through this ministry. Praise God. It's called the Great Commission. Westside had no money. And by the way, you need some money to keep the lights on. People still like air conditioning. It's called Georgia Power, amen? But God has supplied our every need and has even given us above all we could have asked or thought. To God be the glory. To have everything paid for and to have money in the bank tells me God's good hand has been upon us. On July 10th, 1983, we supported no missionaries, but God has now enabled us to fund the ministries of over 50 outstanding missionary families and causes both here and around the world. More than $100,000, and for Westside, that's a chunk of money, goes each year to advance the Great Commission. And might we see that amount continue to grow. We had no staff. I was the secretary. I typed the bulletin that first Sunday, and it took me about all afternoon. And it looked that way. But I was the janitor, and I still am, part-time. I was the yard man, still am, part-time. But you name it, I wore all the hats. And yes, that's a little scary to think about. But through the years, and I had people say, Pastor, you need to give up that job. You need to let someone else do it. And through the years, the Lord has given Westside a truly godly, capable, and loving staff. Often after our staff meetings, Kay and I will comment what a wonderful group of people we have. And I want to especially recognize David for his unrelenting faithfulness from almost the very start of this ministry. You know, he's my brother-in-law, and there's a certain dynamic that goes with working with your brother-in-law. But David has been loyal. He has been faithful. He truly has been a gift from the Lord to me, David. And I know, not only to me, but to all of our children and our teenagers. Thank you, David and Jacqueline. Westside had no leadership. We had no deacons, no trustees, no Sunday school teachers. We had nothing. But God, through the years, provided truly godly, mature men and women of like precious faith to faithfully serve, to faithfully teach. I look at our Sunday school teachers and I say, wow, those people are capable. Now, thankfully, I did have a wife. You know, a pastor is to be the husband of one wife, amen? And by God's grace, Kay is still standing by her man. And she doesn't usually replay my blooper tape. I mean, it's kind of, we keep that under wraps most of the time. But honestly, being a pastor's wife is not easy. But Kay has been and continues to not only be a godly pastor's wife, but an incredible wife, an amazing mother, an awesome grandmother of eight. And so what am I trying to say? And I hope this going back, revisiting Westside has been a help. For 40 years, I truly believe God's good hand has been upon this ministry. Through all of our testing, all of our trials, all of our challenges, through all of our times of disappointment, all of our times of failure, our times of weak faith, truly God has shed his love and grace on us. For like Ezra and Nehemiah, we as a church have sought to lift up and exalt Christ by knowing the law of the Lord, by keeping the law of the Lord, and by teaching the law of the Lord. And this principle is applicable not only to Westside, but to whoever, whatever ministry seeks to know the word, to obey the word, and to teach the word to others. And so, friends, Westside is all about the written word pointing people to the living word. It's all about growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's all about whether we eat or drink or whatever we do all to the glory, all to the glory of God. It's all about abounding in the work of the Lord, for we know then that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so we acknowledge God's good hand upon us today, and we give him praise and honor and glory. God's good hand has been upon Westside Baptist Church. Now, what God has and who God has in store for Westside's next 40 years, only God knows. To just put everyone's mind at ease, I want you to know I'm not planning on being a part of Westside's 80th anniversary. Can you imagine Pastor Lane at 110? But may this church continue to know God's word, continue to obey God's word, and continue to pass on the truth of God's word to others. Then God's good hand will remain on us as we do our part to advance the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we continue to believe, Lord, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Lord, let the beauty of our God be upon us and continue to establish the work of our hands. Yea, continue, Lord, to establish the work of our hands. And may God continue to be honored in this place.